Before John Huston died 2 years ago at the age of 81, he had directed 41 films, acted in more than 20, and gained a reputation for his adventurous and perhaps excessive lifestyle. How do you measure his legacy? Well, there's a new home video called John Huston, The Man, The Movies, The Maverick. Critic Owen Gleiberman has a review.
John Huston is just about the only director from the studio system era whose legend rests on something larger than the fact that he made pictures. Perhaps no film is more emblematic of his career than The African Queen. It has all the attributes of Huston's best work: wonderful acting, a story that fuses literacy and action, and the beautiful low-down cynicism that was the animating spirit behind most of his movies. Still, what really marks The African Queen as a classic Huston venture is the reason he made it. He simply wanted to go to the Congo to hunt elephant. Huston was Hollywood's greatest renegade, a man who seized life with an almost frightening gusto. Even when his movies were artistic failures, as they often were, you had to marvel at his audacity, at the breadth of his vision. His most personal and idiosyncratic films, like Moby Dick or Wise Blood, were often about men at war with the universe, men who felt they couldn't live within their boundaries. As this documentary makes clear, that pretty much described Huston himself.
My father said, John is going to really be something. It's one thing or the other. He's going to really be something in this world, or he's not going to be worth a damn.
That voice, a kind of thundering bark, is unmistakable. For Huston, even a simple conversation was a form of action, a way of establishing dominion over the world. In clip after clip, he gives an impression of casual omnipotence, a feeling of being infinitely larger than whatever he's talking about, whether it's a Hollywood studio or one of his half-dozen wives. This film gives us a few glimpses of Huston's insatiable spirit. There are clips of him on the set, where he's always brandishing his cigar and that orangutan grin. There are interviews with his family members and colleagues. We learn that Huston loved painting far more than he did filmmaking, and that, according to Lauren Bacall, he never really liked women very much. In later years, when he appeared as an actor in movies like Chinatown, he specialized in playing men conversant with the Faustian intricacies of power. And according to his daughter Angelica, this was more than a touch autobiographical.
I think there was nothing my father liked more than getting a bunch of his friends and compadres, which was what most of the people he worked with were, out to as remote a location as possible. And, torture them a little and have a lot of fun.
Huston's towering personality was such a magnificent facade, it's doubtful any documentary could pierce it completely. Still, as a movie, John Huston is too straight and reverential. It's an official, upbeat profile, far less convincing than the one offered by Huston's friend Peter Vertel in the 1953 novel White Hunter, Black Heart. There, Huston emerged as a kind of charismatic monster, a man obsessed with sin, danger, and his own tyrannical powers of persuasion. What this movie never quite comes to grips with is Huston's dark side. It makes his Hemingway-esque adventures seem somehow quaint, rather than the expression of a driven, nihilistic temperament. By the end, you're convinced Huston achieved greatness, not just in his movies, but in a life spent compulsively on the edge. What remains a mystery is the price he must have paid.
Owen Gleiberman is a Boston-based writer and critic.